one and all, once again to Dual Worlds in episode 47. We have a really, really condensed cast this week. It's just Anthony and I.
Yep.
It's Canadian Thanksgiving, so Chad and Mike, if he's ever around anymore, are off celebrating Canadian stuff in their fake Thanksgiving. It's also Football Sunday, which I assume is where we always use Jason to. I think he cheers the 49ers. And then some other stuff, which I won't get into on air. So, yes, I assume this is going to be a short podcast, but there's no way to tell. We'll kick it off with what you've been paying, and I don't think you were with us last week, so you can go ahead and start us off.
Well, I'm about to be playing Spider-Man Edge of Time. That is my first guide for the fall semester. So I've been kind of on a hiatus from guide writing since I went out and worked in a camp this summer. So last one I did was Lego Star Wars, and then Conduit. And then now I'm doing Spider-Man. And as the reviews have indicated, I'm sure to have a grand old time writing this one. It's looking like it's going to be on the shorter side, and there's just going to be a lot of punch, 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 kick, punch, punch, from what I understand.
It's roughly about 5 to 6 hours. I actually saw some of it being played in a live stream yesterday, and there used to be like some really frustrating parts of it. There's one part in particular I saw where you have to say, I don't want to spoil too much, because I know you're probably looking forward to this game. It's probably one of your most anticipated titles of the year.
Had it pre-ordered for a year. So, choose your pick, hopefully.
Yeah, there's a part where you're going down an elevator shaft to save Mary Jane, and it's broken up into segments, and, you hit various things, and if you hit too much, you die or whatever. And I swear, based on how fast he was going and how much frills there were, this building had to be something like 1,000 stories tall. And I will be watching a live stream. I actually spoke to the person who was saying it afterwards, and he mentioned that you have to go a certain speed, because if you don't go fast enough, the game will automatically say you failed. But if you go too fast, it's a lot of things that just pop up as you're going. So it's really hard to navigate, because it's not like you see some of these things ahead of time so you can move out of the way. It's like, oh, here's some tentacles that are going to pop up as soon as you pass this area, but you have to be going really fast, so you better know that's going to happen.
I see. Well, I'll have that to look forward to. But I actually have been playing Tetris Axis for 3DS. So that shipped last week. And I picked it up just kind of an impulse buy. Target was running a buy it and you get a $10 gift card. So I essentially got it for $20 because I shop for groceries there. What actually caught my interest wasn't what I thought it would. Fever and survival modes have actually... honestly, something that's worth looking into the package for. It's essentially they take the big, most people say that, it's Tetris Marathon is where it's at, it's why you get the game, but I don't really have an interest in doing that after these two modes, because they narrow the playing field down to about 5 columns. So, take the 4-block-long piece and that'll cover 4 out of the 5 columns, for example. And, just the nice thing about it is that it speeds the game up substantially. So it's essentially, I'd say essentially a lot, it's basically where, Pac-Man Championship Edition DX is to Pac-Man, as to these survival and fever modes is to Tetris. So it's a lot faster, and it's a big emphasis on score more than Marathon would be, because Marathon can take you, over 10 minutes to complete it. Up to level 15. So these are, quick little bite-sized things. In fact, Fever is a minute affair. You just try and get a high score in a minute. And if you're about to say something?
No, I was going to say, really does sound like Pac-Man Championship Edition, where you have kind of like those, oh, this is 5 minutes, get the highest scores possible in this time, mm-hmm. instead of like, oh, you just keep going until you finish up your 3 lives. It's kind of like, It's what I call a bite-sized gaming. This is why cell phone or mobile games are good. It's like you pick them up, you play for 5-10 minutes, you're good to go, and you don't have to worry about anything else.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I guess I'll say the difference between survival and fever. Survival is no gimmicks. It's just, you try and survive, try and stay on the screen for as long as you can, and blocks will gradually fill up from the bottom. And I think I'm, it's actually fun. I think I'm 8th. in the worldwide leaderboard on that, so that's kind of neat. Fever has Fever is the 1 minute, and that's it. And you have items that will help you clear lines faster. And I think if you match a line with two like colors, then you get this little bonus mode where, let's say you have the L piece or the J piece or whatever, and it's just a stacked about 3/4 tall, of the playing field of perfect fits for the J piece. So you'd get it, in that case, you would get a triple every time as you went all the way down to the bottom. Or if you had the T piece, you would have doubles every time as you went down to the bottom. You would just have to rearrange them and set them. So it's kind of like a scoring round. Or if we're comparing to Pac-Man again, it would be the chain of ghosts. So you kind of play for that.
And I mean, I'm sure this is the question that a lot of people are going to ask, is at the end of the day, do these new additions really, you know, is it worth $40 for somebody buying it?
It retails at $30, actually. This is at $10 bucks off, so that's nice. I still think that $20 is a more worthwhile price. So, you've played Tetris before, and these two modes don't warrant another, you know, $30, in my opinion. But I don't have, you know, too many people with 3DSs around me to try the local play, because all it is online is one-on-one or you know, just normal Tetris battle one-on-one or free-for-all with eight people. Sad thing with free-for-all, you thought the blue shell was bad in Mario Kart. There's now an item that you can get called switch screen. And basically that means that you switch screens with someone else. So if you get that item, guess what you'll be doing? You'll just be spamming the hard drop button until you're one block away from dying and then switch screens with someone to where there's no possible way to get out of it.
Nice.
People are pissed about it, and they're, you know, wanting a patch or whatever, but, you know.
It is what it is. I mean, at the end of the day, I've always thought this is kind of, I mean, it's frustrating for people, but I've always thought this is what kind of makes people gravitate towards Nintendo's multiplayer affairs, is that they do keep it kind of level with that randomness. It's what makes Mario Party, Mario Party, and Mario Kart, you know, through show and stuff. At the end of the day, though, skills still can prevail, but it still gives the people who aren't as good a chance to keep up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mario Kart, you have blue shells. If someone's good enough, that blue shell won't necessarily, you know, put them in last. If it's close with a bunch of good people, it can. But, I mean, it's this particular thing is just it's unfair because it's a lose button. If you get that put on you with someone that knows what that item is.
Yeah. I was on the other hand, I was going to say, is there a way to – like, which can you? Because I know I saw, I think Giant Bomb, like there are certain modes where you can see the other person's screen.
Well, you can see other people's screens.
So you can literally just hold on to that until you're screwed, and then switch faces with them.
I mean, you can do that, or like I said, you can. I mean, you're working on, you know, building up your Tetrises, but then you see the item, so you have this nice stack of, you know, blocks at the bottom. But when you see that you have the item, you just drop everything you have immediately. So it's just one tall pillar of randomly placed pieces until you're about to die, and then you switch with someone.
Yeah, I could see how that would become frustrating. It doesn't even seem like there's some type of strategy involved with it. Like, you have to get a Tetris, so each person has, like, four, you know, pieces to kind of work around. It's just, yeah, because if I got it, I would dick around until, like, the thing's about to collapse. You use an item, and, like, what are you going to do? You can't. I guess you're really, really good at Tetris. I don't really know if you can do anything with that.
Yeah, I mean, that's... if we were playing the honor system, and if you were just doing bad and then switched it, I guess, sure. But, I mean, people that know what they're doing aren't going to do that. They're going to, as you said,
honor system.
Yeah. So, not the smartest decision. But when you're playing one-on-one, there are no items. But when you're playing a eight-person free-for-all, good luck.
Okay. The other thing I was going to ask about is the AR games.
Haven't tried them. Not interested. I've heard nothing good about them.
Okay.
The AR games,
they seem kind of chunky. And I've heard, that's kind of the thing with a lot of AR games I find, is that because you have to keep, like, the card in focus, that it's very hard to move around and keep the radius. You know, you're supposed to be a certain distance so it sees the card and you can still play and enjoy stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's a tough thing. It's very finicky, the AR stuff. And I mean, you know, I'll probably try it at some point, but it's not something that's worthwhile to me because, I mean, to begin with, the 3DS camera is just not very good. There's no getting around that. It's bleh. Yeah. And, you know, a clear camera, perhaps, but I don't know.
So, yeah, I guess that Tetris Access does, I mean, at the end of the day, does it live up to Tetris DS?
The presentation, no. I mean, the presentation's better than Tetris Party, the iterations on DS and Wii. But and the 3D is actually a really, really nice effect. It's pretty cool. But you just can't beat, you know, the remixes of what, you know, what Tetris DS offered with all the Nintendo themed stuff.
Yeah, it's kind of, I mean, I don't think they developed this one. It was kind of weird that after Tetris DS, though, that they kind of abandoned the whole Nintendo theme. I thought it was it was one of the reasons I picked up. Because, I mean, Tetris is Tetris. It doesn't, I mean, there's a lot of different modes and stuff, but it's still the same core game it was, almost 20 some odd years ago.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's what people keep flocking back to.
Yeah, but you can also get it on your mobile device for like a buck or two. So, I mean, there has to be something really compelling to draw you to this for $30.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Have you been playing anything else?
Have I been playing anything else? Nothing particularly, just going through back catalog of stuff. I played a little Twilight Princess to, you know, get ready to see about the changes to, you know, Skyward Sword, which I haven't been as excited for a game as I am about Skyward Sword in a long, long time.
Yeah, I was going to say, I feel the same. It's like every time I see more Skyward Sword, and I really probably should stop and get more excited for it, where I was mentioning it, and this is probably the first time where I'm more excited for a Zelda game than I am for a Mario game.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that I don't, you know, it's like I still have lukewarm feelings towards for Mario 3D, and even though everything they've shown, you know, keeps on, you know, building it so it looks better and better, but it's still kind of, I'm kind of iffy on the whole digital input thing in a 3D game. So, I mean, I guess we'll see.
Yeah, the thing about Mario is that, you know, it looks good. It does. But
it's like Mario.
We've had a lot of Mario and, you know, Mario Galaxy in 07, Galaxy 2 in 2010, and then New Super Mario Bros. Wii. There's been a lot of Mario, and we just haven't had a, you know, full outright new Zelda title in 5 years.
Yes, and as I mean, it's kind of late to the party, but it does also seem to be that proof of concept that you can use motion controls in a full action game and kind of change, you know, core basic concepts and evolve them with this. I mean, granted, I have to wait until I get more hands-on, well, when I get hands-on with the game, which hopefully I get some next week at New York Comic Con, but you know, like one of the things a lot of previews mentioned is something as simple as the bomb, where something, you know, like, which is a standard Zelda item, now kind of is given new life where you can use it as an overhead object or an underhand object.
Mm-hmm.
And now you can, you know, you have two different chests of puzzles with it now instead of just like the one you throw a bomb, it fills up a wall, you find, you know, now it's like, you know, I need to get this entrance, I have to time it so I can get through this little pit, and, you know, you have to roll it perfectly or whatever. So, we shall see.
Yeah.
But I mean, I guess before we get onto that, I haven't really been playing much different from last week, but I really wish Jason was here because he's been playing more Gears of War, and I don't know if you've played Gears of War 3.
I just played a couple rounds of Horde mode.
Horde is fun. It's kind of, we discovered this week mutators, which are kind of like the skulls in Halo, but mm-hmm. they work more for the good guys than they do for the bad guys. Like, somebody had one where it's like, if anything, you can melee kill an enemy in one hit. So, like, we would fight berserkers, you hit it once and it's dead. And that kind of takes away a lot of the challenge from the game.
Right.
But it also helps you if you want to kind of just go through it. If you want to have fun, or if you want to get the achievements and stuff like that. But yeah, it is kind of cool to walk up to like a berserker and just hit it and it falls over, or you know, like you're the Maya and just hit it or whatever.
Right.
But yeah, I wanted to talk to him about the story because, you know, everybody has their opinions on, I'll wait until he's around and other people are, and you know, it's only been 2 or 3 weeks. But there are certain elements to the story where I think a lot of people are taking, get a bit more emotionally invested than others. Like, I find some of it to be more cheesy and over the top than sympathetic and, you know, sentimental. And there was just a disagreement on one certain scene, and I wanted him to discuss it, but he's not here.
Right. I'm interested in going through the story, the campaign. That kind of stuff is, for me, is more of a, it's more of a single player affair. I know people like multiplayer, but, that's not for me. I haven't really mastered, you know, how differently it controls, just compared to, you know, what I play the most, which is Halo. And, I wouldn't do well, but that's just me.
Well, I mean, for me personally, I think Gears of War is a multiplayer game in general. As in, I don't play the campaign by myself. I've always played all of them in co-op.
Oh yeah, sure.
And you know, like Horde and Beast Mode, I really haven't touched any of the actual like online competitive stuff because I do think Gears is it's a unique game, but it also kind of it ends up being broken at times because certain, you know, like shotguns kind of reign supreme and stuff like that. And, you know, like people say use cover and stuff, but, you know, like you use cover and then you have, like, especially if they rush the power weapons, there's certain weapons that are, like, one-hit kills, so you can't stay out of cover too long and stuff like that. But that and I played more of the Battlefield beta and the Uncharted. I don't know what Uncharted 3 is called. I don't know if it's another beta. I think technically speaking, Sony's calling it the competitive multiplayer experience. And some people are kind of using it as a second beta. Technically speaking, according to Sony and Naughty Dog, this is kind of like the final multiplayer aspect that's going to be in Uncharted 3. And everything you do here carries over to the final game. And I hope it doesn't, because right now the game is really, really just not fun. It doesn't favor any type of skill or precision. Like, basically, the strategy a lot of people use is to just run around with, like, a pistol, blind firing, and then hitting you because it's pretty much a one-hit kill with that strategy. So if you're actually trying to stand there and aim at them, they're running circles around you, and they'll kill you before you can actually use any type of skill to take them down, and that's just not fun.
Right.
And the other hand is like if you do have the advantage on somebody and you have the distance, it's like it takes so much to kill them with your standard guns that it's just not worth it. I've sat there and the buddy system. I've sat there and watched my friend like empty an entire clip into a dude's back and he was able to get into cover and not die. And I'm just like, at what point does that become fun if you can't finish somebody with an entire clip of your default gun? So, yeah, and Battlefield is Battlefield. I really don't want to harp on it anymore because we covered it last week. Agent's done two videos for the site on it. At this point, you're either a fan of the Battlefield 3 beta or you're not. I don't really think anything they're going to do is going to change anybody's mind. I do want to say, and this is a sentiment I've had since Modern Warfare 2, but it's something that's popping up again, is it really saddens me and pisses me off so much when people excuse a piss-poor single-player campaign because that's not the focus. I don't like the fact that people see single-player as like this luxury or this bonus thing to a multiplayer experience. Like, oh yeah, sure, the campaign sucks, but that's not why we buy the game. And I mean, I get, you know, it's your prerogative. I just find it odd that people excuse bad campaigns just because that's not the focus for them. Why not hold them to that standard where if you want to have a single player, you make a great single player and not just, oh, it's just a practice round for multiplayer.
Right.
So, yeah, that's come up with Battlefield because a lot of impressions from the press has come out about the single player and a lot of it is just like it doesn't seem to be anything special. It's kind of like the I think one up called the Whack-A-Mole Terrorist Hunt that is Call of Duty.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. And, yeah, I mean, it's been off my radar. I was hoping that the beta might change my mind. It already made it worse. So, yeah, I'm out of the Battlefield race. So I won't be saying too much more about it. I don't want to harp on people who, you know, want to love it or whatever.
I mean, I've been watching my roomie play, and it does not look good. Visually, in my opinion, it doesn't look anything spectacular. Naturally, this PC's version is very good, and I've heard that they're offering like an HD update to the game, which I think is ridiculous that is even a thing. Why not just have HD?
Yeah.
But at this point, and you know me, I'm a frame rate whore. If your game is not running at 60 frames a second, it will not be one of the top runners visually, unless it has some, you know, aesthetic effect to it running at that rate, kind of like how movies do. But, you know, I'm watching my roommate play the Battlefield beta, and it looks like Homefront. I mean, the textures and stuff are better, and the game's a little sharper. But since it's in 30, it looks like Homefront. And when you compare that to, hell, Modern Warfare 2, or, you know, any of the Halo titles, it doesn't look good.
And that reminds me, and this is one of the things, and it's not so much, I don't do frame rates and stuff, but it is, there are certain stuff, I think, if your game goes for a certain element and it doesn't really achieve it, it really breaks the illusion. And Battlefield just kind of goes for that realistic, gritty look or whatever. And one of the things that I found really disturbing or distracting to me is that there are parts in the game where you can swim in the multiplayer, which I think is kind of cool. But the water doesn't move, and that was really odd to me. Like, you're swimming, and you know, like, if you swim, your hands make waves and stuff like that. The water remains still, no matter what I did. And I was just watching, and I'm like, how can they have so much detail and not realize that your water doesn't move?
Yeah.
I mean, again, I don't know if that's a 360 thing, because, you know, like, they have to consoleize it and dumb down the graphics or whatever for the consoles to run or whatever, and this is like 50 disc on a 360, but it was just one of those things, like, this is supposed to be one of the graphically superior games of this generation, and it can't even get water physics right, which is something that Wave Race on the GameCube did, or Super Mario Sunshine.
Right, so, exactly.
I don't have any excuse for that. moving on. There was not a lot of news, but we did get a lot of trailers this week.
Hey, it was an awesome week for Zelda people.
I was going to say, it's an awesome week for Nintendo. It seems like they've really cranked up their advertisement for the fall, because they've released new trailers. I think they released two this week for Mario and like four for Zelda. I will just say, I mean, offhand, like I said before, the Mario trailers, you know, each one shows something new and exciting. He has a new costume that really has me giddy on the inside.
The boomerang?
Yes. That looks awesome. Some of the stages, I mean, it looks like it really pairs well with 3D. I don't know if you've seen the trailer on the 3DS or some of the 3D screenshots. But it seems like it's going to be one of those games that really kind of defines what 3D... Like, it's... How do I? It's 3D, but it's not 3D that breaks the game. It's not something that you need on to play the game, but having 3D on will allow you to find more secrets and stuff. And I've always, you know, it's kind of like the Mario staples that you go explore and, you know, like the sky stages and like Super Mario Brothers 1 and 3 and stuff like that. And this is kind of the same deal with 3D, where you have 3D, you're given a different perspective and able to see some stuff that you probably wouldn't see if you just played the game in normal 2D, because it's kind of hidden on that extra thing.
Yeah, I've seen that, and I wondered how that would look. There was that one particular room where it had a bunch of blocks stacked up against each other, and you could obtain one of those star coins.
Yeah.
And then, you know, in 3D, I mean, you tried to jump to it, but then you found out that it was in the foreground. But in 3D, it was very obvious that little block was in the foreground. I thought that was pretty neat.
Yeah, and it's if they do stuff like that in the game, it's going to be one of those proof of concepts. Where I'm still not sold on 3D in anything, but I do think if used well, it can probably enhance a game. Zelda, on the other hand, was just spectacular. I mean, part of it at this point, I don't need to see any more of how Skyward Sword plays. My one beef doesn't seem to be fixed at all, and it doesn't look like it's going to change. I think Link looks stupid when he's running around with his sword out. I understand why they do it. It's just really odd because he holds it so stiffly.
And yeah.
Yeah, but other than that, I mean, my God, the music in the intro is fantastic. It kind of sucks because I can't. You know, a lot of people don't want to watch it because it's an intro, and
I haven't watched it, and I won't.
And I agree with that, but I mean, I can send you the MP3. The music in it is so damn good.
Okay, send me that. Please do that.
I've listened to it like 3 or 4 times a day. It's just, I mean, you could really tell, I mean, granted, this is kind of the number 2 franchise, so of course they're going to go all out, but the entire presentation, the opening sequence, and I don't want to ruin it too much, reminds me a lot of Wind Waker, how they tell you, like, the folklore through, like, pictograms and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And it's just like that, and it's really cool, and I think Wind Waker and this are the only two games that do it, because... Twilight Princess just has that wolf segment. It doesn't really explain, like, the backstory. Then again, I would assume the Twilight Princess backstory would be pretty similar to the Windmaker one, so probably didn't want to retread old ground. In addition to Nintendo having trailers released this week, we had the, I believe this is the first single-player trailer for Modern Warfare 3.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. Everything's exploding.
Yeah, I didn't know people were so sensitive about Modern Warfare 3. I tweeted when I saw the trailer that it's kind of funny. I mean, I don't know what it says about video games, but the fact that our number one franchise is pretty much a pissball Michael Bay movie. I mean, it does really look like a Michael. There's like no substance whatsoever in that trailer. It's just a bunch of stuff thrown up and being shot at. And I mean, at this point, I don't expect anything else from Call of Duty. I don't expect a deep moving narrative or anything like that. And it is what it is. As long as you accept that and you don't try to make it anything else, I have no problem with it. But a lot of people didn't take kindly to that comment. So I apologize to you, Call of Duty fans. I didn't know. I have Saints Row the Third, but Daniel's not here, and I honestly haven't watched it. I have Saints Row. The trailers are over the top and fun. It's just really bad timing this year for me.
Why is that?
I think it's out in that whole November crunch.
Oh.
With, you know, like that 2-week span where you have like 50 games coming out.
Right, right.
So yeah, it's kind of off the radar for now. I mean, we'll see. What are their names? Activision announced Transformers for Cybertron, I assume next year for the 360 and PS3. I'm actually excited for this. I was a huge fan of War for Cybertron.
It was fun. It was.
Yeah. It's pretty much a Gears of War clone, but, you know, I had Gears of War, I had Transformers, it was a great combo, it had an awesome story, voice acting from the original cartoon, an amazing theme song.
that credits theme?
Yeah.
That's good stuff.
I'm excited for it, as long as it's the same studio and they kind of build on that foundation and it's not something like a cash-in, and even then I doubt that because it's been 2 years, I want to say?
Yeah, so, I mean, it came out, it was a big thing summer 2010.
Yeah. So there should be no reason for this not to be anything, you know, more for Cybertron. They have a solid foundation. Just kind of built on that. This is an interesting one. I don't know if you've seen it. The Sony Evangé commercial.
Yeah, I did. I mean, I actually didn't get to see it with sound, but, you know, I got the idea. I need to go and rewatch it with sound. But I thought it was interesting that they decided to tease that commercial.
Yeah. It was kind of weird because a lot of people, and, you know, like, people got over it, but people were kind of disappointed because it did seem like it was kind of teasing a Sony team-up game.
Sort.
Yeah, and instead it's like, it was literally not even a teaser, it was just part of the commercial, and they just extended it.
Right.
And it was kind of, and this is where, again, I get in trouble, and I apologize in advance. It is a fantastic commercial, I actually am a huge fan of it, but it's terrible marketing.
Do tell.
Because if you're not familiar with the characters, and a lot of people aren't, let's be honest, you have no idea what's going on until the very end. And even then, it doesn't reach. It just, you know, it's like Michael. And it's like, oh, this is a PlayStation commercial, but at no point does it really sell you on any of their products.
I mean, it almost just seems like a little piece of fan service.
Yeah, and that's kind of what I called it. It's like I said, it's an awesome commercial, and I think it's what I called a rallying cry to their fan base, which isn't a bad thing, but I thought this was going to be their big marketing push for the fall, and it doesn't look like it explains their games. I mean, like, if you're not familiar with some of their games, like, you know, even people had to go frame by frame to get all the characters who are in there. And some of them don't have speaking voices or whatever, so it's kind of like, you know, people can get Nathan Drake, they can probably get Solid Snake. I don't know how many people would get Lightning from Final Fantasy. She doesn't speak, and she does have the pink hair, but it's kind of dyed down. You know, like, you have, what's the guy from Twisted Metal name? The Clown?
I don't know.
There you go. you had soldiers, you had people from Madden games and stuff like that, and it's kind of like, oh, okay. I think Cell from Portal's in there, and
yep.
Yeah, there's a bunch of people in there. But again, it's kind of hard for you to if you aren't familiar with these games, it's kind of like, oh, okay, it's just a bunch of characters talking. And like I said, it's fine if you're like you and I, who kind, you know, I knew most of the characters because I've played most of these games, aren't familiar with most of these games. But if you're the average consumer who isn't familiar with all of Sony's brands, it's just you don't know who it is. And it doesn't help explain it. It's not like, it doesn't say, you know, like, oh, Nathan Drake, Uncharted, or Lightning, Final Fantasy 13, or Ezio, Assassin's Creed 2, and Brotherhood. Nothing like that, so. Yeah. Like I said, fantastic commercial, terrible marketing, and that's always kind of been my issue with Sony's marketing this generation, is they have terrific, you know, I like Kevin Butler, he's funny and all, but he's always been more to me. They sell the personality more than they sell the product.
No, I will say that Kevin Butler turned the face of PlayStation around this. The past couple of years.
It's a better product than their creepy baby commercials they aired before that. But at the end of the day, and as far as I know, that sales fact this up, is that none of the commercials help improve sales of those franchises. And that, at the end of the day, that's the key part of marketing, is that you want to. I mean, granted, I guess the counter-argument could be is that sales didn't decrease. But they didn't increase, so, meh. It's like it would have done the same thing if you had any commercial for them. This is a new game that was announced for, I'm going to butcher his name, Keiji the guy who created Mega Man and was recently fired from Capcom or whatever, announced the game for the 3DS called King of Pirates. It stars a penguin in an RPG. It's planned to be a trilogy. Yeah, I saw Pirates and Penguin, and I'm pretty much already sold.
you've seen video of it? I haven't gotten a chance.
I don't even know if there's a video of it. I just saw... I saw screenshots of it, of like the CG penguin, and it's, you know, like, and this is something, I don't know who I was discussing this with over Twitter, but I think it was on one of the forums. It's like one of those things where you don't really see non-human centered games anymore, and this is just kind of got announced, and it's kind of, you know, it's nice, it's a nice change of pace where it's not just humans being pirates and stuff. You know, you got penguins and cats and chimpanzees.
Don't let you do that, Star Fox.
Yes, a lot of really random animals, and I'm kind of curious to see where it goes. And, you know, he has his backing, the guy from Mega Man, so there's that. Self-defense training for Kinect. Again, something I have to have for Daniel to make fun of, but he's not around. I honestly don't know what's going on with Kinect anymore.
That gunslinger thing was... I mean, it was supposedly pretty good. One of the first actual good ones, so I'd stand central.
Yeah, and that's just, it's like, I mean, I assume that sales have really slowed down for it because Microsoft hasn't really said anything since it's like hit 10 million in February. And it's like they are just deciding to do this whole, we'll just dump a bunch of games in one time and hope people, I guess, you know, it's kind of like that mentality people said that people, you dust off their Wiis around Thanksgiving and Christmas when family comes over. So they assume it's the same thing with Kinect where, oh, it's, you know, Christmas time. We'll, cause you know, like Disney and Adventure, Once Upon a Monster, Dance Central 2, all those are coming out within like, the next 3 or 4 weeks. But I don't really think so. I think that people, if they don't have compelling experiences to keep them going, or even, you know, like with Wii, I mean, it slowed down eventually, but at some point you had a bunch of games and there was a bunch of random mini game collections that came out all the time. And they, I mean, during the, like the first year we had stuff like Carnival Games and Deca Sports and stuff like that that did remarkably well, and those were on holiday titles. And they kind of kept the momentum going for when we got Wii Sports Resorts and Wii Fit and, you know, Wii Fit stuff like that. And I think that's what Microsoft should have done instead of just kind of hoping that the initial launch lineup would carry it for a year and then the second batch would pick it up. But, you know, they could be proven right this holiday season. We'll see.
You just mentioned it briefly, but I completely forgot about Carnival Games. That was a cash cow on Wii, and I think they made a second one, but, you know, we hadn't heard from it since.
Well, there's actually a Kinect one.
Oh, there is now. Okay.
Yeah, Monkey See, Monkey Do, or something like that. It's actually one of the few games we have reviewed on the site.
Wow.
Sorry to ask. So, yeah, there's that. And Nintendo has gone 3DS crazy. I gotta say, watching a panicked Nintendo, and I honestly still don't think they're panicked. too. I mean, not that they aren't panicked, but I don't think they're in desperation mode that God, people want to believe. But just like, I mean, we've already had the DS came out in Black and Blue. There's a pink one coming out. There's a red one out. They announced the white one.
For
there's
Japan.
Rumors. Yeah. There's rumors of, I think, a green one for Luigi's Mansion. There's there's a Dragon Quest bundle. There's a Love First bundle. I think there's a Uso. There's a soccer RPG bundle. They're kind of just going bundle crazy with this stuff. But, you know, at the end of the day, they really just kind of want this thing to take off. And it has improved. And it's kind of interesting that it's improved. The thing that a lot of people said with the 3DS was that it was like a game's in a high price. The price dropped, sales kind of improved. They haven't really hit those big games yet, but the announcement of Monster Hunter in Japan has been enough to kind of, you know, stabilize 3DS sales around, you know, 50,000 to 60,000 a week,
yeah.
Which is actually pretty impressive. And it's kind of, I don't know if it's funny or sad, the fact that just the announcement of those games did that without them actually coming out. And it's not, you know, I get into this enough. I don't want to get into this on this show. It's one of the reasons I really think the PSV is in for a really uphill battle in Japan this year. Well, the next year or two. But we shall see.
I mean, not being announced, I mean, Wii's a little bit past its prime as far as,
you know, I don't know if people will be buying Wii to play Skyward Sword. I think that most people that would be playing, would be interested and know that it's coming out, wouldn't have sold their Wii. But I'll put it this way, if Nintendo announced, like, a brand new Pokemon, you know, coming out in the next year for 3DS, I think people would flock to it.
Yeah, they will announce Pokemon, it is their handheld franchise. But at the end of the day, is that, like, and this is something I'll get into at a later point, is Nintendo is kind of like they flipped the switch and, you know, starting within the next month or so. I mean, even starting with Tetris, we'll see. If you have like Mario, you have Mario Kart, you have Luigi's Mansion, you have Kid Icarus, you have Resident Evil Revolutions, you have, you know, there's a ton of games coming out and it's like one a month. And they still kind of have their heavy hitter because there is no announcement of an official Pokemon game yet. And there is no, you know, there's no, I mean, Super Mario 3D Land is good and all, but it's not a proper 2D Mario game. They still have that card to play, and they still kind of have, they still haven't had that big brain train in Nintendogs type game for this generation yet. And I mean, I'm not saying they are going to have it, but I do see them going with that really experimental game to see if it takes off. And, you know, it is what it is. We'll see how that goes. So, yeah, I mean, I think that will do it for the news. Unless you have anything else to talk about?
Nope, I don't.
Okay, well, we have a few more questions for this week. Yes, as I mentioned before last week, I'm just going to start asking people on Twitter to, you know, nonsensical or sensical questions. I'll answer anything really.
Yes.
Please.
Questions.
Yeah, just submit them and I'll ask them. We have three from last week, actually, that we haven't answered because we ran out of time, and then we have, like, three from this week. This one's kind of dated, but it's an interesting question I wanted to address after the fact now, too. But the original question was, will Dark Souls on Tuesday cause the whole world to be angry? Dark Souls is already out, so I already know the answer to that, so I won't ask it. But I am curious, what do you think it is about Demon's Souls and Dark Souls that a lot of people play these games and get frustrated by them, but they want to continue playing, even though sometimes it doesn't seem like they're having that much fun with it?
It's a good question. You know, I haven't played Demon's Souls or Dark Souls, but I did follow BitTrip Runner all the way to its completion. It depends on, you know, the level of satisfaction that you get out of actually getting past something frustrating. I mean, ultimately, I think that people will, you know, enjoy a game enough to the point where they're able to overlook faults, either that or their trophy/achievement whores.
Yeah, I know too many of those. I mean, I haven't played Demon's Souls or Dark Souls because their reputation does precede them, and I've never really been the type of person. I mean, I get satisfaction out of, you know, achieving a part of a game, you know, figuring out that tough puzzle or defeating that boss finally or whatever. But the whole notion that this entire game is kind of like that does never really appeal to me, because, you know, like, something's rewarding if it pays off in something, a long struggle, not the fact that, oh, it's going to continuously happen, because then it's not rewarding, it's a chore.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of why I've always avoided them. And, you know, I've seen people who are like, oh, I've died 20 times in the opening cutscene. I mean, not in those words. And I'm just like, oh, that's fun to you, I guess. I just never really got the appeal to that personally. So, yeah. The second question, and that question was from that zoo. I think there's something like 8 O's in his name. I can never keep count. And this is the second question. Is quitting games partway through a common problem?
I'm assuming he's talking about, like, online multiplayer?
I think in general. I think online multiplayer, I think, you know, like starting a game and just kind of either moving on or giving up on it.
Or quitting games halfway through, like a single-player affair, isn't really, I don't think, news or something to be talked about. That's just personal preference. If you like a game, then you'll finish it. But if you're talking about online multiplayer, it's, you have games that, you know, it would kind of piss you off when people drop out, you know, halfway through, like Mario Kart or Halo, because there's no getting them back. But then you have games that almost encourage it through the option of just entering a game, you know, halfway through, which I'm not a fan of. I don't like how Call of Duty does that. Yes, it does suck when, you know, you have two people drop out, and you wish people wouldn't do that. You don't do that in, you know, almost any other competition. You don't do that in soccer. You don't do that in basketball. You can't just drop out and leave. It screws with the whole competition aspect. You're on a team, you know, finish the game. Otherwise, it's not really Team A versus Team B. It's Team A in a pool versus Team B in a pool. So, you know, you, for example, Halo Reach, you go up and see, you know, who you're up against, and you have people of these certain skill levels, and then you have your team with your skill levels. You know, let's see who's the better team. Let's not quit halfway through just because you get pissed or whatever.
I'm actually on the other end. I actually do wish more games encourage you to join partway in. Problem with that, though, is, like, if you do join partway, and I've had this happen, it's like you join partway in, and it's like a completely one-sided affair. It's, like, not fun for you because you can't really do anything if you come, and everybody's got, like, their mega weapons ready and their perks and their kill streaks and stuff like that. But at the same hand, and you've played Halo with us before, it's like, I'll play Halo with my friends, and we'll have people drop out before the game even starts, and at some point, yes, you can work with a 2-4, you know, disadvantage, but usually if it's a smart team, you have a 2-man advantage. You're going to use that to your advantage and cover most of the map, and there's really not much you can do because you don't have that manpower, and there's no way to get it, and it's either, you know, you quit and or you stay there and you suffer the loss.
I think, though, that, for example, with Halo, because it says upon it, you know, you're eventually suspended if you quit out of too many games, it doesn't want you to quit. It's just the question of how, you know, how much people actually follow that to a T, whether because of that restriction people decide to finish games, or, you know, when you have Call of Duty where people can leave games at any time, you know, completely unrelated but still somewhat related topic. You know, you legalize marijuana in the United States. Do you have the same amount of, I mean, the people that smoke pot, do they still, or are they still the only ones, or do you have people that, you know, wouldn't ever really do it because it's against the law, but now that it's free, they might as well try it out?
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough thing. I mean, and, I, you know, Gears of War does something like this, but this is also a problem, is that it can penalize you point-wise or experience-wise if you do quit out the games, but sometimes you do end up with stuff where either, like, your connection drops or, you know, something out of your control stops you from playing the game. And I don't, you know, it's hard to say at times, but it does suck when that happens and you end up getting penalized for it. So, you know, it's a balancing act. Like, and even with Halo, it's like usually you get like a 30-minute suspension. So usually if you're smart enough, you just plan it where you take a break for 30 minutes and come back, or, you know, an hour or two or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
This question comes from Playdar UK. Favorite co-op experience? And I think this was because Gears of War 3 had just come out.
Mm-hmm. Go on.
I was gonna say I'm gonna go with Left 4 Dead. Either because it's, you know, like, you can have co-op games like Crackdown, for example, is a co-op game, but you don't really have a co-op experience. You don't necessarily need your partner in that game. Left 4 Dead is a true co-op experience where you can't really run off on your own because you're going to either get overwhelmed or you're going to be taken out by, you know, like one of the special infected, and you need your partners to save you from that. So it does encourage teamwork. It does encourage communication. But, you know, it still encourages individual skill, because if you're the weak link, you will be left behind and killed.
Yeah. Mine is, let's see. You know, I'll be honest. I have not played Portal 2 co-op yet, even though I really want to. I'm looking forward to trying that out. But my current favorite co-op is still, Four Swords Adventures on GameCube. You know, if you were able to get four GBA cables, four GBAs, and actually get something going, it was a lot of fun.
And I think you just mentioned the problem with a lot of people haven't been able to try it, because we got it going once, and that was it, and it was a fun time, but it's really just a lot of setup, and I was thoroughly disappointed when Nintendo didn't have online and four swords for the DSi.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we just became DS friends. It would have been nice to go through Zelda stuff together with a little bit of voice chat.
Yeah, but I don't get the company sometimes. Like, they have, like I've mentioned this before, they have some keen properties I think would excel in online. I think New Super Mario Brothers, but you know, stuff like Donkey Kong Country and the Mario Party games particularly, I think would be fantastic online experiences.
I think that Mario Party would be a fantastic online experience with friends. I think with strangers, games can last an hour and people are going to quit out either through dishonesty or, you know, things just come up.
Yeah, but at the same hand, and I, you know, this goes back to the Tetris discussion, I guess, is that with Mario Party, it's so random that stuff, you know, like usually you have that the final five round, that whole round robin thing, where like, things change. And I agree with you. I think that's more suited for friends because, like, if I'm playing with strangers and the fifth round comes around and I end up using all of my stars to some guy in the ass pitch, I'm going to quit. I'm going to rage quit out. But if it was with friends and I got dicked over, I'd just laugh about it because, you know, they're friends.
Yeah.
But yeah, I do think Mario Party has potential, especially being that as I get older, it's really hard for me to get 4, 8, or 16 friends together in the same room to play Mario Kart or Mario Party or, you know, any multiplayer game, really.
I think with strangers, with Mario Party, I think like a mini game tournament would work out a little bit better than a actual full board game.
I think they can have multiple features. I would like to do a full board game, but again, I think that would be more of a friends thing and not something I'd play random people with. Okay, so that would do it for last week's questions. This week's questions, we have, I am going to butcher his name, so let's go with Chris Scott. with Gears 3 out and Epic owning the IP, do you think the next set of Gears game will be multi-platform?
That's not really my area of expertise.
Okay. I will just go with this, and I've said it this entire generation, I say it again. Unless Microsoft, Sony, or Nintendo are paying your bills, I see no reason for a third-party title to remain exclusive to a console.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that definitely makes sense.
We'll see how next gen goes. I assume they're all going to be comparable in power, but, I'm not a tech expert, but I don't see any reason for you to say, oh, this game's all you're going to be in the next Xbox, or this game's all you're going to be in the next PlayStation, because at the end of the day, it's you're catering to different markets, and I don't believe in leaving money on the table at all for any company, and it's something I said this entire generation. If you have an exclusive third-party title, and you're not being money hat by one of the three platform holders, you're doing it wrong. So yeah, there's that. So yes, I see Gears of War going multi-platform next generation. That's what I'm saying, basically. And finally, our last question comes from Sean S52. Favorite nonsensical game names, like Bravely Default Flying Fairy is my current favorite.
You know, give me another example of nonsensical.
I was going to go with our title of the year from last year, Cup Penguin Elite Penguin.
Oh, that's right.
or whatever that was called.
Biggest subtitle ever.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of games take themselves too seriously to have nonsensical titles, and I even think Bravely Default, if Flying Fairy is going to be changed by the time it comes to the States. I've also, I'm going to go with Penguin and Elite Force. You know, just a bunch of Penguin stuff. It's an awesome title, and it's like a great game. I think that's it for our questions. I'll ask every Sunday or whatever we do these. I'm actually not around next week. Not during this time, anyhow.
Okay. I might be, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah. So if you want, you can, I'll, you know, send out a tweet and you can ask questions and we'll answer them. I don't mind either or. I like fun questions. I like serious questions. I like talking video games. That's it. At the end of the day, that's all that really matters to me. Yes, for Anthony and myself, this has been Dual World in episode 47.
Oh, and also BitTrip fans, check out Runner2s and runner2.com. You'll find yourself a little blog on a direct sequel from BitTrip Runner. So, kind of neat stuff.
Yeah.